सहगणरघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे विष्णु सहस्रनाम I've been gradually speaking on the names of Vishnu Sahasranam over the last few years. Now on name 688, that means 312 to go. 688, the name is Stota. Does that word Stota sound familiar to any of you? Stota, Stota. You've heard the word Stotra. Heard the word Stotra. This is Stota. Before this, in this verse, we've had the name Stavya, Stavapriya, Stotram. Oh no, sorry. Stuti. Ha ha. Okay. 687, Stuti. So yeah, it all gives the idea of praise. So the name Stuti, that's also synonymous with Stotra, Stava. In this context, it means he who is praised. Very similar to the name Stavya, which means, you're translating into which? No? Very similar to the word Stavya, which means he who should be praised. So he who should be praised is actually praised. Sometimes we find that people who should be praised are not praised. Or they're not praised enough. Just like, for instance, we sing daily in Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada, Ebe Josh Gushak Tibhuvan, now let his glories be proclaimed throughout the universe, but not much. Certainly the followers of Srila Prabhupada praise him, but everyone should praise him. The whole universe should praise him. On the other hand, we often find that people who are not worthy of praise are praised. For instance, what's probably the most famous thing about this city of München? Munich. What's the most famous thing in the world about this city?
Oktoberfest.
That's famous. But I tell you, I can speak from my own experience. What else? Oktoberfest means beer festival, right? Yeah. Anything else? What brings Munich into the news more than throughout much of the year? Now I'm giving a clue. Football team. Bayern. Bayern Munich. So, I don't know the names of any of the football players. Do you know the names of any of the football players of the team? You don't. You're living in this city. Probably most of see these young men running around here. They probably know the names of the football players. The point is that these people are praised. What is their quality for which they're praised? Their ability to kick a ball more expertly than other people can kick a ball. Which actually has no meaning, but meaning is meaninglessly ascribed to it. You may not know, but at the present time, the Indians all know, the World Cup cricket is going on. How do I know? Because I see the Indian Express on the internet every day. World Cup cricket. You probably don't even know what cricket is. It's a game that's immensely popular in India. But in Germany, I think most people probably never even heard of it, the game. So people are praised for the ability to hit a ball with a piece of wood and run like anything and do that better than others. So they are praised, not really praiseworthy. But the tendency to praise is there, but instead of, in material existence, instead of offering the praise to he who should be praised, who is Krishna, it is offered to people who have nothing actual to offer of any real benefit. It's just an imagined benefit. Just like if India win the World Cup cricket, that will be a great victory for India. But how does it help the average person sitting in his house, struggling to make ends meet? It doesn't help. It's only because importance is ascribed to it, we feel some benefit, although it's of no actual benefit whatsoever. Some people will benefit the bookies, that means the people who they oversee the gambling. The bookies and who else, the cricket players themselves, they get paid huge sums of money for doing nothing of any real benefit whatsoever. Krishna should be praised. That is our propaganda. We want people to know that Krishna should be praised. He is actually praised. He is the one who... So what is to be said here in this talk will be covering much of the material in the previous talks. He is actually praised. Young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti Divyai Stavahi. Stunvanti. You can hear that word. So that's related with the word stuta or stuti. Stunvanti. They praise him. With divya stavaihi, with transcendental prayers. Other people are praised, but not with transcendental prayers. The result of praising a cricket player is the same as any other activity in material existence. The result is punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again you get born and again we have to die. The result of praising Krishna is janma karma chame divyam evangyo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti cha sojana. We go to Krishna. We go to the spiritual world. We don't have to come back again to this world. All the Vedic activities are meant for praising him. All austerities are meant for praying. It's actually meant for glorifying him. And indirectly it does. If one performs austerities according or sacrifices or gives in charity according to the Vedic prescription, it's indirectly praising Krishna by following his directions as given in the Vedas. His name is invoked at the start of every auspicious event, Omka. The sound Om, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all the Vedas, the sound of Omka is Krishna. So Krishna is invoked at the beginning of every auspicious event, and from time immemorial all realized actually self-realized persons worship Krishna. There are other self-realized persons who don't recognize Krishna, but the result of that is that their self-realization, it's not complete and perfect, it's only fragmentary. And the result is that they may rise to the platform of almost liberation, but they fall down again. Yen yen rindaksha vimukta maninastvayasta bhava davishuddha buddhaya aruhya kritrena param padang datam patantyato anadrita yushmadangra. The demigods pray to Krishna that there are others who don't praise you properly, directly, and by their own austerities, with great difficulty, they rise to the liberated position, or so they think. They're not fully liberated as they think. because their consciousness, although it's in one sense pure, they've become free from the effects of the modes of nature. And they rise to the spiritual world, but not inside the spiritual world, only to the periphery. Because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet, they fall back again into this material world. So praising Krishna, it's not optional, unless we want to go on suffering in material life. It is essential. So there, all these words are coming up. Stotra, stava, stuti. There are other related words also. Mantra. Krishna is praised by mantras. Sukta, you've heard of the word sukta. Rig Veda sukta. Veda suktas. Sukta. So just to give a little overview of what all these words means. Mantra. Mantra means, mana means mind, and tra means triyate, trana, that which delivers. So that which delivers the mind from material existence is called a mantra. That's the mantra. It changes things by sound. The best mantras are for delivering one from material existence. There are other mantras which can, magic spells, which can influence the surroundings, or magic spells. In English folklore, you'd call it magic spells. But mantra has a mystic effect, just like we hear it in Mahabharata. We hear of the war that was going on, and how they're fighting with bows and arrows. That might seem to be very primitive, but actually these arrows were powered by mantras. They're very powerful. One arrow powered with a mantra can destroy the whole universe. They're very powerful. The most famous mantra probably in the Vedas is the Gayatri mantra. The word mantra can refer to all kinds of utterances. Even the Buddhists have mantras, but the Buddhists don't believe in the Vedas. But really, mantra means those are the Vedic mantras, which is, they're supposed to be taught only to qualified people who they have to be qualified to learn the Vedic mantras. One has to be pure in habit, pure in thought. The mantras themselves will purify our thoughts, but there has to be some prerequisite. There has to be some preliminary purification of consciousness before even one is allowed to be initiated into learning mantras. Initiation is required for learning mantras, and then for reciting them, there are terms and conditions. Only in certain times, certain places, after preliminary purification, and mantras are generally preceded by a bij syllable, which that bij, the seed of power, goes there. So Om is one of this. Then there's Om Hrim Hrum Hrum Klim. Clean, is it? There are many different bij syllables for mantras. It's a mystic science. The Hare Krishna mantra is a Vedic mantra, but it's different from the other. Maha mantra. The specialty of the Maha mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, or one of the many specialties, is it doesn't require all these conditions. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nam Namakari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shaktista Trarpita Niyamita Smarnena Kala Ita Drishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrisham Ihajani Nanuraga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that praying to Krishna that you're so merciful, you are present as your names in which all your potencies are there. And they're not even rules for chanting. But I'm so unfortunate, I have no taste for this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kayate Shuite Jyota Tata Namaloi Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sarva Siddhiho. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that in any circumstance, even while eating or even while lying down, one can chant the names of Krishna. Now, you can't chant Vedic mantras while eating. It's unimaginable that the priest is reciting the Vedic mantras and at the same time popping some chaat or something into his mouth, munching away. It's not possible. Even he can't begin to offer to chant those mantras without first having bathed, put on fresh cloth and performed archaman purificatory ceremonies. After eating, one must bathe before he can chant Vedic mantras. But with a Hare Krishna mantra, you can chant while eating. Of course, it's not generally recommended. We don't chant our japa while munching away. But you can also, in the middle of taking prasad, you can call out, Govinda, Narayana. You can do that also. That's also allowed. Now the Hare Krishna mantra is famous all over the world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other areas, in some areas of India, it's more famous as Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So either way, Maha mantra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to chant with Hare Krishna first. Then Sukta, the Veda Suktas, each of the Vedas, the four Vedas, they're divided into mandala, which means a section, which consists of hymns which are intended for various rituals. And so among the Suktas are famous, the Purusha Sukta is very famous, Sri Sukta, Rudra Sukta. Specific parts of the Vedas. Then stotras are written to praise a particular god. Of course, Narayana is the supreme, but other gods are praised. So both suktas and stotras are prayers to particular gods. They're often prayers of glorification. The stotras are usually in the form of verses, whereas the suktas, they may be in the form of prose also. So among the stotras, some of the famous ones are the Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra, which I'm commenting on now, Ram Raksha Stotra, Saraswati Stotra, Stotra Ratna. Some of these are not specifically Vedic. Not specifically Vedic in the sense they don't appear in the Shruti, in the original Vedas. Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra appears in Mahabharata. Of course, it's eternal like the Vedas, but it appears within the Vedic corpus, not as part of the Shruti, the original Vedas, but within the Mahabharata, which is Smriti. Ram Raksha Stotra, we don't know who is good. Stotra Ratna is composed by Yamuna Acharya. So the prayers that Yamuna Acharya makes in his Stotra Ratna, they're certainly eternal in the sense that the sense of them is eternal, but they have manifested through the pure devotional consciousness of Sri Yamuna Acharya. Then Stuti is, it's a generic term for all kinds of prayers, all kinds of mantras, suktas, stotras, bhajans and so on. Shloka is
a pair of successive lines of verse of the same length. And the shloka, the term actually specifically refers to the anustup chanda, particular meter, the very most simple of all meters. For instance, Dehino Sminyata Dehei Komarang Yovanang Jara Tata Dehantara Prat Dhiras Tatara Muhit. So that's in the Anustup meter or chanda. And then there are other chandas also, or meters, which show that in other meters is not officially a shloka, although by common usage it's called a shloka. Then there are sutras, which are codes, terse codes, that express the essence of a teaching in the minimum number of words. For instance, in the Brahma Sutras, the opening sutra is Atato Brahma Jignasa. So, Ataha Ata. Therefore now, Brahma Jignasa. So, among all these four words which combine into Atato Brahma Jignasa, only the word Jignasa is very clear, which means inquiry. But therefore, well, that's in relation to what? It's the first word. But what came before that? Before that came everything else. But it's not explained. And ataha now. Now means what? In the human form of life? Or now, having realized that everything else is useless, one should inquire into Brahma. And then what is Brahma? It's not it. So it's very terse. There's much more to be said, but it's just compressed. And you're supposed to understand what it means. But we don't, so then it becomes fluffed out or extrapolated also. And then what is Brahma? That is, what is the Brahma to be inquired into? That's explained in the next sutra. Janmadhyasya yataha. That from which janma, etc. That from which there is birth, etc. And unless one is trained in the Vedic knowledge, you wouldn't have a clue what this means. But that's explained by the acharyas in their commentaries. And they all the acharyas in the commentaries, whatever school of Vedic thought they're from, they all agree that this janmadhyasya yataha is a compression of the first two sutras, actually, of the Brahma Sutras are a compression of the Taittiriya Upanishad statement, yato vayamani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayatya bhishang mishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahma. That from which everything emanates, that in which everything exists, that in which everything enters at the time of dissolution, that is the proper subject of inquiry, that is Brahma. Brahma means the great, that which is great. So the sutra is in which everything is a vast amount of knowledge. Even if we say that from which everything emanates, that in which everything exists, that in itself requires explanation, much more. What is the explanation? All the Vedas. Sarve Veda Tatpadama Amananti. All the Vedas explain this one point. And ultimately that's summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Vaidaischa Sarve Rahameva Veda. In all the Vedas, knowledge, the knowledge of the Vedas, that which is to be known is Krishna himself. But the sutra, they compress. The knowledge is compressed as tersely as possible. It must be universally applicable and faultless in its linguistic presentation. This is the definition of a sutra according to the Vayu Purana and Skanda Purana. So there are Vedanta Sutras, or Brahma, which is also called Brahma Sutras, Yoga Sutras, Patanjali's, Patanjali Yoga Sutras, and then there's the Sutras for Grammar, and then the Jaimini's, Mimamsa's Dharma Sutra, and so on. Bhagavan is called Stutaha or Stuti because he is praised by everyone. Everyone who is actually intelligent praises Krishna, no one else. Even for attainment of personal desires, an intelligent person praises Krishna. What do you want? What do you want? Better job? Better job means what? More pay. Want a better job? Well, you can worship Krishna. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dhi. Ti vrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushampara. If one is desireless or desires liberation or has multiple desires, best to worship Krishna. We see people go to Tirupati to worship Balaji, and almost all they're going for Balaji Srinivas. They're going for fulfillment of material desires, and it seems it works because they've been going for centuries. If it wasn't working, then you'd think people would give up. That's not really the reason to praise him, but it can be done. But the really intelligent people, they praise him just because he is stavya, because he should be praised. They don't desire anything from him. They're just amazed by his amazing transcendental qualities. In this regard, I'm going to find out a verse from the Stotra Ratna of Yamunacharya, in which he says, Twam Shila Rupa Charitai Paramaprakrishtai. Your Shila, your personality, your rupa, your form, your charita, your activities and your character. Paramaprakrishta, topmost they're all topmost excellent. Tvam shila rupi charitai paramaprakrishtai satvena sattvikataya prabalaischa shastraihi prakyata daiva paramata vidang mataischa Naivasura Prakritaya Prabhavanti Bodham. Yamunacharya praying to Krishna, Narayana, says that your qualities, your form, your activities, your personality, they're all at the topmost, super excellent. And therefore you are praised powerfully praised by all the shastras in the mode of the shastras in the mode of goodness, because there are shastras which cater to people in the lower modes of nature. So all the topmost shastras, of course the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Vishnu Purana, They powerfully present the glories of Krishna. And that is known also, it's obvious to persons who are situated in complete knowledge of transcendence. However, Krishna is completely not known, or not available to be known, to demoniac people. Even if they are very intelligent in exercising their minds in various ways, they can't find Krishna. That is their misfortune. But liberated persons, beginning with Adi Shesha, Garuda, they glorify Krishna. Adi Shesha is serving Krishna in so many ways, and he's with his unlimited mouth, he's praising the unlimited qualities of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, but still he can't even come to the end of one quality. So we should also pray. We get in good company by praising him. We're in good association, praise Krishna. Then we get in the association of all the great devotees who are praising Krishna since time immemorial. Dhata purastadyam udajahara shakra pravidvan pradishash chatasraha. The Purusha Sukta says that at first Brahma, the creator, praised him. Then Indra, who is very knowledgeable, praised him. And then the four directions. So in other words, all the highly elevated beings, Brahma and Indra, are above us, and from all directions, he is to be praised. Shankaracharya, in commenting on this verse, says that he is the very act of praise. The praise is non-different. The praising of him and he himself are non-different. I discussed that in some detail in the previous name. The praises of him manifest when our consciousness is pure. Baladev Vidyabhushan, who is the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator on this Vishnu Sahasranama, he says that his devotees continually glorify his transcendental pastimes and qualities. So he is that person who is always glorified by his devotees. Okay, Hare Krishna. That took about half an hour to go through that. I could do another name. I'm just wondering if I should, because it's a little late and you all have to take prasadam and go home and get up. And they start work very early here in Germany, right? They should get up early and go to Mangalati and chant Hare Krishna. But in Germans, the Indians say work is worship, but the Germans actually live it, right? For them, work is sacred. Okay, I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ancha kalpatarubhyas charkipas indubhyabhichapaditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Oh, unless there's any question, I guess, could be asked. Did you stop it? No. Any question? Comment? Correction? Anything? Yeah.
About Germans working so hard, because you gave last Sunday...
About... That was actually 9 days ago. I gave a lecture titled, "Why Do Germans Work So Hard?"
Exactly. And just today we were going from Sinkeshalam, and there were a lot of places they were repairing highway.
And I saw the highway was being repaired as we were going along.
So, because Germans, they have actually a very good quality, is perfection.
Germans have a quality of perfection.
Yeah, and actually,
perfectionism.
Exactly, and actually this is a good quality, right?
The quality of perfectionism is a good quality. Well, if it's a good quality if it's properly applied. Mm-hmm. To become a perfect mudra is not very praiseworthy. to very perfectly make a slaughterhouse is not a very good quality.
So they're just misusing this good quality.
well, it's not good if it's applied in the wrong way. It's good if it's applied in Krishna consciousness, it can be good. But even perfectionism, the desire to do something perfectly for Krishna is very good, but considering the nature of this material world, it might not be a very good idea. On the day that Tamal Krishna Maharaj passed away in Mayapur, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was among the many speakers who spoke, and he said that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was a perfectionist, and like other perfectionists, he drove himself crazy and everyone else also. So one of the reasons that Srila Prabhupada was able to preach in the Western countries was that, or anywhere, was that he didn't demand immediately perfection, but he always pointed people toward perfection, but he never demanded it on the spot. Of course, when, for instance, one is building a bridge, it should be done properly, not haphazardly. In India, it's happened quite a few times recently that bridges have collapsed because they're not built properly. People cut corners and they want to make as much profit as possible, so they build the bridge not properly, and then after a few years it collapses with people. Usually when there are a lot of people on it, so that's very dangerous. Footbridge with many people on it collapses, people die. Maybe the most famous bridge in India, definitely in Bengal, is the Howrah Bridge. The British built that over 100 years ago. More people cross that bridge every day than any other bridge in the world. There's always people, mostly by foot. It's still as strong as it was the day it was built. So that was very well built. So, perfectionism. Only Krishna is fully perfect. The perfection of a jiva is to be fully dedicated to Krishna. That's all. So, Hare Krishna.
As you talked about appreciation today a lot, so how actually do we can develop genuine appreciation for Krishna?
How can we develop genuine appreciation for Krishna? By hearing about Krishna. Then, by hearing about him, then the natural tendency of the soul to appreciate Krishna will awaken. That's all, simple. Nitya siddha Krishna prema shada kabunai shavarnadi shuddha chitte kareye udai. Love of Krishna, which rests on appreciation of Krishna, is inherent and natural in the soul. That is reawakened by the process of sadhana, beginning with hearing about Krishna. Hare Krishna. Did you really think it was a wonderful class? Or are you just saying that as a formality? It must be wonderful if it's topic of Krishna.
So Maharaj, we discussed about the
video. If you say thank you for a wonderful class, it's almost like saying that, well, I was expecting you to give a horrible class, but thank you for scraping through.
I'm not much in fond of this. Thank you for giving a wonderful class ritual at the end of a class. It backfired, if you actually wanted to thank me. Anyway, what's your question? What's your question?
My question was, you spoke about the various chakras. So somebody who thinks that he is not in a position to praise Krishna or approach Krishna, and he uses a stotra for the demigods. There are different stotras for the demigods to praise him.
Someone who thinks he's not in a position to praise Krishna, so he praises demigods instead.
To get bhakti
for Krishna. Do you know any such person?
Yeah, from one of my relatives.
One of your relatives. Say, I don't think I'm qualified to praise Krishna, so I'll pray to the demigods instead. Sounds like a cheating mentality to me. If you know that Krishna is to be praised, and the demigods are inferior to Krishna, and that every jiva by constitution has the right to and the duty to glorify Krishna, why don't you glorify Krishna directly? Sounds like you've been preaching to someone and they're attached to worshipping demigods and they're using that as an excuse. It's like... We often hear people in India say, well, I'll surrender to Krishna when Krishna inspires me to do so. And Krishna's telling all the time in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhanam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. And Krishna has to come personally in front of me, bow down at my lotus feet, kiss them, massage them, and beg me to surrender to him, and then I'll think about it. It's pious sounding rascaldom, actually. If you want to glorify Krishna, then you do it, that's all. They have to go to different demigods to ask them to do what? They're not going to glorify Krishna. You have to do it for you. You have to do it yourself.
But isn't that humility? No,
it's not humility. It's pious-sounding rascaldom. Humble-sounding rascaldom. Actually, you don't want to praise Krishna, but you make a show. If you want to praise Krishna, you praise Krishna. It's just as easy to praise Krishna. What is required to praise demigods? To open your mouth and praise. What is required to praise Krishna? To open your mouth and praise. So, why don't you do it for Krishna? Because you're a rascal. So. Humility means to surrender to Krishna. Anything else is egoism. It's the same thing. When Krishna inspires me, I'll surrender to Krishna. It sounds very humble, but it's not humble. It's an excuse. It makes it sound like it's Krishna's fault, not my fault that I'm not surrendered to Krishna. It's Krishna's fault. Hare Krishna. Mancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyascha patitana pavane bhyo vaishnava bhyo namo. I must say that Hindus, they have a very long-standing culture compared to Western devotees. They have generations and generations. So they're very expert in concocting all different ways to avoid Krishna. A very long-standing tradition. Hinduism means a pious way of avoiding Krishna in various ways, by worshipping demigods, by worshipping Sai Baba, by doing different fasts and prayers and saying, Garv se kaho hum Hindu hai, and voting for... Well, I won't say that. You have to be careful what you say these days about politics. You might get thrown in prison. Hare Krishna. Okay, so now we're going to have traditional pizza. It's not traditional. There are rabbits. Well, lucky for them, they're in a park, because otherwise someone would shoot them and eat them. Which is what often happens to rabbits in the West, is it? People probably don't bother in Germany, they just buy their meat from a shop, huh? You don't know, you don't eat rabbits.
Never?
Never. Yeah, how do you know? What are we doing? We're not in this material world because we're pure. We're in the material world because we're sinful. So maybe not in this lifetime, but quite possible in previous lives. Hare Krishna. Okay, bring on the prasadam.
Sometimes also.
We're supposed to have finished. He's still recording now?
Yes, but I was still.
Well, he's asking a question then.
Sometimes we see some devotees making some artificial distinction between Krishna and Vishnu, and you know, they say that, you know, they bring the 400 form almost to a demigod form. So, like that. It's like we will worship only Krishna, we will worship only. Our rasa is the highest, you know, only Madhuri rasa. When you hear that, what?
Who's talking about Madhuri rasa? What do they know about Madhuri rasa? They should get off the bodily concept of life first. How often did you listen to all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures and read his books? Yes. He hardly talks about Madhurya Rasa.
No, I'm saying some devotees tell this.
Are they devotees?
And then they say, if you read something like Vishnu Sahasranam, they say that. No.
Then they're rascals, that's all. Because the Gauriya Vaishnava Acharyas have, like Baladev Vidyabhushan, has commented on Vishnu Sahasranam. So if anyone says that Vishnu, they're above Vishnu Sahasranam, then they're a rascal, that's all. Thinking they're greater than our acharyas. What?
I'm from Hyderabad. Madhava, Madhavdas Prabhuji.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, so he told me that you're coming, so I just.
What brings you to this?
My husband is here.
Place. Oh yeah, I have my books. Da, 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 da. Books, books, books. If anyone would like to take any of my books, please do so now. Is there one in German there? Brahmacharya? Yes. My one and only book in German. In Russian. Well, it's too late. Once the prasadam comes, all philosophy is forgotten.